7th of February.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah. All I know is that tonight is Tu Bishvat. That I know.
All right, Tu Bishvat, 7th of February.
Right. August 2001, Tovshin Samachalot. And we've had too much snow this week.
That's right.
But Baruch Hashem, I came through. Scarred but alive. Yeah, I should bench Gable tomorrow. Yeah, I agree.
Did
you fall? Oh, I fell several times.
You don't want to.
No, not here.
You don't want to record.
On the road coming back from New York, when we drove back Monday. Verschleppte Krank. We left Brooklyn in the morning and didn't get here until 8:30 at night.
Wow. You're kidding.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was at least 10 hours. Horrible, horrible drive.
Should have stayed over.
Yeah, no question. I admit, I sometimes make very foolish judgments. Was on the tongue. Okay. All right. I want to summarize a little bit of what we have on Lamed Gimel, Omed Beis. We're dealing with the problem of the length of the sounds that we make on the shofar. Okay? Okay. So, we see, I want to start now where it says, Shir Truah Kegimel Yevamos. Do you see where it is? It's roughly a little bit below the halfway mark.
Did you say Yom Truah?
No, I didn't get there. Shiur Truah Kegimel Yevamos. This is a quotation from the Mishnah, which says that the length of a Truah is equivalent to 3 Yevamos. Okay? So the question is, what are we talking about? So Vahotanya, the Gemara says, didn't we learn that Shiur Truah Kishlosh Shavorim? That the length of the Truah should be equivalent to 3 Shavorim. So Omar Abaye, said, there's no question, he says, that in reference to this, is it Trua, is it Shvorim, right? Plige, there is a machlokes, there is a controversy among various rabbinic authorities. Dichsiv, Pasuk says what? Says Yom Trua Yielochem, right? That Rosh Hashanah is to be what? A day of Trua, okay? Umetargaminan, and the Targum, the Aramaic translation, the Munkulus, translates it as Yom Yevova Yehelechon. All right? So that therefore, what do? They equate the word Trua with what?
Yevova.
With Yevova. Okay? Uksiv, and then we have another Pasuk. This deals Be'ime the Sistra, with the Sistra's mother, which says, okay, that next to the window or the lattice, right, the mother of Sisra looks out. Naturally she's waiting, for her tzatzkalit to come home, right, with all kinds of with victory against the Jews and all kinds of booty and everything else. And it says nishkefor, she looks vati yabev. So we see that the word vati yabev, the verb, which means what is she doing? She's sighing, she's moaning, what is she doing? She's doing something, okay? But it's similar to the Aramaic, what? Yevova, okay? Which we had in the translation of the Pasuk of Yom Teruah. So, the question is, what exactly was she sounding? What did it sound like? So, Mar Sovar, one authority says, Genuche Godach. That what she did was to be sighing, okay? Which means something like this, oi, 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 okay, that's the genucha, okay? Okay, Omar Sovar, but another authority felt what? Yulule Yalil. What was she doing? She was oi, like that, okay? Yeah, sobbing, whatever you want to call it. Sobbing, wailing, at least was, okay? Okay. So, in other words, while everybody knows that she was what? She was Vati Yabev, and we also know that a Trua is equivalent to Yevova, But the question is, so what is Yevamah? That's the problem. So that's why we have two different opinions. Either it is or it is oy. Okay. So therefore, of course, that means that we have to show how it's reflected in the blowing of the shofar. All right. So, Tanu Rabbanan, our sages thought as follows, Minayin Shebe Shofar. How do we know, first of all, that you have to blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Remember a long time ago, as I mentioned last week, we had a whole machlokes devoted as to whether you could, for example, take the horn of a cow, right, and use that. After all, that's called Karen, and sometimes a shofar is also referred to as Karen. So the question is, it's referred to as Karen, so therefore does it mean that this would also be kosher to blow with? And we decided no, because the mitzvah of blowing a shofar has to be from what? From the horn of certain specified animals. Okay? As for example,
a ram,
an antelope, a gazelle, I mean, they use the word Ya'el, if you remember, okay, as being an ideal, and some people translate the word Ya'el as mountain goat. It's like a goat that likes to hang out in the mountains of Yehuda, you know, like around Ein Gedi. What is Ein Gedi? The well of Gedi, the well of a goat. In other words, it's called that because the goats like to run around on the top over there, okay? So, you know where Ein Gedi is. It's, okay. Yeah. Good for you. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, they decided that was the kosher one, but definitely not a cow's horn, okay? Or a bull's horn. That's not, okay? All right. So we already decided that, but they want to know, since it doesn't say that you have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, but all it says is what? That it is Yom Teruah. You understand? The word shofar doesn't exist in the Torah concerning Rosh Hashanah. It only uses the word Teruah. Okay, so therefore we have to know what exactly, how is the Teruah to be sounded, right? Menayin Shebe Shofar. So repeat the question. So how do we know that it is a shofar with which we have to fulfill the mitzvah of blowing the Teruah on Rosh Hashanah? So he says, Talmud Loma, this is why the Torah says, V'havarto shofar Teruah. Now remember that this quotation is not in connection with Rosh Hashanah, but it is instead with the blowing of the shofar, which is to take place in the Jubilee year, on what day? On Yom Kippurim, on Yom Kippur. Okay? So far we know that the word shofar in the Torah is connected not with Rosh Hashanah, but it's connected with Yom Kippur. You understand the problem? Okay.
With the Yovel?
With the Yovel, of course. Blowing the blowing the shofar on Yom Kippur. It doesn't mean every Yom Kippur you blow shofar. We don't. The fact that we blow shofar at the end of the Yom Kippur service is only, it's sort of like to herald the idea that we're looking forward to the shofar of Moshiach, you know, but it's not a mitzvah, it's a minhag, you understand? It's a minhag. And of course, we know what, when we hear the sound of the shofar, what do we all say? B'shon Abba B'Yerushalayim. And everybody makes a dash for home, except a few
right.
People who stay to David Meyer.
Right.
Okay. So, that being the case, we have to be able to prove somehow or other that the blowing of the shofar is legitimate, right? All right, so how do we prove it? This is the question. All right, the pasuk that we cited was from Yom Kippur Jubilee year, where it says, Havata shofar tuat, that you are literally to cause the past, well, in this case, let's say, to blow the shofar that is sounding the Teruah. So there we see the word shofar. So he says, Ein li ela b'yovel. All right, good. How about maybe we should say that this applies only to what? To blowing the shofar on Yom Kippur in the Jubilee year, right? But b'Rosh Hashanah minayin, But how do we know that on Rosh Hashanah you have to blow also a shofar? So therefore, we have to learn it by, as we would say in polite language, by exegesis. Poo-poo. The last part doesn't sound right, right? But what it means is, of course, you know, that we apply different, right, and we get a meaning out of it. Okay. So, Talmud Lomar, therefore the Torah says, what? Bachodesh HaShviyi. All right, so where does it say Bachodesh HaShviyi? The answer is it says it in two different places. Obviously, Bachodesh HaShviyi, first of all, was the quotation from blowing the shofar on Yom Kippur and Jubilee year, right? But also, we find that Bachodesh HaShviyi, Be'echad LaChodesh, right, that in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, Birkat Kodesh Elohim, this is to be a festival day unto you. So now we see that Bachodesh HaShviyi is found both in reference to Yom Kippur and also Rosh Hashanah.
We need another page now.
No, we still have five lines to go. Not this one, yeah, okay. But we have five lines to go, okay. Shehein Talmud Lomar Bachodesh HaShviyi. Why does the Torah have to say Bachodesh HaShviyi? Uma Talmud Lomar Bachodesh HaShviyi. So tell me, why then does the Torah say Bachodesh HaShviyi in both cases? So the answer is Sheyiyu Kol Truos Shel Chodesh Shviyi Ze Koze. It's to teach us that all the truos that we sound on the seventh month, whether it's in the Yom Kippur Jubilee or it's Rosh Hashanah, they have to be alike. So, if that's the case, then we now have proved what? On the basis of what we would call a Gezeirah Shovah, in other words, you know, that we have a similarity of language, right? We have proved then that if in Yom Kippur it says Shofar Truah, right? Then in that particular case, we have to apply it also to Rosh Hashanah, so we know, okay, we have to blow with a shofar the Truah of Rosh Hashanah. All right, so far, no problem.
Step one.
Right. Umenayin. So now they ask another question. How do we know Shepshuta Lefoneha that before you come to the Truah, what do you have to have? You have to have one simple sound before it. In other words, what we call a tekiyah. Okay? So Talmud Lomar, this is why the Torah also uses the expression Havarta Shofar Truah, that you shall cause to pass, or you shall blow shofar truah. All right? Which means what? First comes shofar. This is the way it goes. First you blow a straight blast on the shofar, and then comes truah. Okay? Truah could either be, actually, we today take truah in the sense that it is, you know, like the Yolola, right? That's true today. But as we'll see in the Gemara, there are those who equate the Shvorim, boo, 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 with the Truah. And they say that the two of them are really the same, except whatever, accepting that depends which interpretation you take. Is it Genocha or is it Yolola? You understand?
No, it's not right. Everybody. Yeah. We do it.
That's exactly it. No question. Yeah. In order to make sure we're not slighting any of the authorities over here, okay? All right. So, now we know what? That prior to the blowing of the Truah, what do we have to have? We have to have a simple sound, right? So now he says, and how do we know that you also have to have another simple sound, in other words, another tekiyah, right? Which follows it? Talmud Lomar, this is why the Torah says, Ta'aviru Shofar. You have to, okay. You notice in the Pasuk, which deals with Jubilee year, where they say that, you know, on Yom Kippur, you have to blow the Shofar, there are two mentions over there. First it says, V'havarto Shofar Truah, V'chodesh HaShviyi, V'chodesh B'yom HaKippurim. Then it says, at the conclusion of the Pasuk, Ta'aviru Shofar B'chol Artzachem. So the question is, if you have it before, why do you have to have it after? But that's to teach us what? That you have to blow a tekiyah before you come to the Truah, and you have to have a tekiyah after that. Okay? The aim, the enemy, Yovel. And again, let's argue that the Torah is only referring this to what? To the Jubilee year, to Yom Kippur and Jubilee year. But Rosh Hashanah and Ayin, so how do we know that on Rosh Hashanah it's exactly the same thing, that you have to blow, in other words, Tekiyah, Truah, Tekiyah? Or Tekiyah, Shvarim, Tekiyah? You know, depending which way you take it, right? So now, Nidlomar, Bachodesh HaShviyi. And this is why the Torah says, in the seventh month, again, okay, and now we go to continue and Lamed Dalet Omed Aleph. Okay, thank you very much. It can mean what? Well, Yom Kippur, definitely it says that in the Torah. You see, that's the argument, that Yom Kippur is mentioned in the Torah, whereas in reference to Rosh Hashanah, all that we've had is simply Yom Teruah. The word Shofar did not occur. So that, therefore, we have to learn from what the Torah specifies about Yom Kippur and Jubilee year in order to teach us what do we have to do on Rosh Hashanah. So we arrive that by, on the basis, you know, as we say of a Gezeirah Shavah, that in both cases the word Bachodesh HaShviyi occurs. And therefore, what we learn about Yom Kippur, where it says, definitely, so the same thing applies to Rosh Hashanah. Okay. And, but okay. You ask a very good question. The thought occurred to me. But and thinking about it, I realize the word shofar occurs with Yom Kippur. The word truah does occur with Rosh Hashanah. But where in Sukkot do you have either a mention of shofar or truah? It doesn't exist. Okay? So there we have other mitzvahs. We have a Sukkah, we have a little bit of Netzach, you know, the Arba Minim. Those are some of the mitzvahs that we have as far as Sukkot is concerned. But there's no mention in the Torah of either of these two. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, carrying on the top of Lamed Dalet Omed Aleph, it says, She'ein Talmud Lomar. Because what is the Torah trying to tell us Bachodesh HaShviyi, right? Oma Talmud Lomar Bachodesh HaShviyi. So why does it say that? So as we said, Sheyehu called Ruas HaChodesh HaShviyi Zeh Kozeh, right? That we are to equate all the blowings of the shofar in the seventh month to each other. In other words, whatever it says about Yom Kippur also has to be true as far as the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Alright. So far, what have we shown? We've shown, first of all, on the basis that how do I know shofar? So the answer is because it was mentioned in Yom Kippur, and Bachodesh HaShviyi tells me do the same for Rosh Hashanah. How do I know that you have to have, you know, a truah with a tekiyah before it and a tekiyah after it? So this again, we learn from Yom Kippur, where first it says Havata Shofar Truah, and then afterwards, at the end of the same pasuk, it says Taviru Shofar B'chol Arzachem. So we see, you have, you know, a simple sound first before the Truah, and a simple sound after. Okay, this is what we've shown so far. Okay. So now the next question: Minayin Leshalosh Shel Shalosh Shalosh, and how do we know that we have to have three sets, right, of three, in other words, how do I know that it has to be Tekiyah, right, and Shvorim, or Tua, take a pick, and Tekiyah, and again, a second time, and again, a third time, in other words, at least nine, plus. Right, at least nine plus, right? So how do I derive that? So he says, I'll show you. Says Talmud Lomar, the Torah says, first of all, what? V'havarta shofar teruah. Okay? Then it says, Shabboson, this is now in reference to Rosh Hashanah, where it says, it is a Sabbath, Zichron teruah, wherein we have the memorial of the blowing of the shofar, right? So far, how many times has the word Trua existed?
Twice so far.
And then it says Yom Trua Yelochem, also for Rosh Hashanah. So again, now we see that the word Trua is repeated three times, okay? Uminayan Litena Sohomur Shalzebezeh, and how do we know that whatever you apply to one, you have to apply to the other? Talmud Lomar, this is why the Torah says, Shavi, Ligzera Shavah. Okay? That it's to teach us that we derive it through this Gezera Shavah, in other words, you know, through using the same language of Shvi and Shvi. What it says Shvi there, we apply also to Shvi here. Hor Ketza, Shalosh. Now, how do we know that the three wind up as nine? Shehein Tesha, right? So the answer is, well, we said something before. We said Shior Tekio Ketrua, right? That the amount of time of the blasting of the Tekio should be the equivalent of the same amount of time as what? As the Trua. And Shior Trua, and how about the amount of time that it takes to produce the Trua? This has to be Kishlosha Shavarim, like three Shavar. So, in other words, what are we saying over here? If my tequila, let's say, takes tequila, okay, shvarim, boom, boom, boom. Now, that's equivalent, that's, in other words, the shvarim should be, when you add up the amount of time it takes to blow the shvarim, should be the equal of the tequila. You understand? And the trua also has to be the equal of the tekiah. So, therefore, it's going to sound like, you know, boom, 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 boom. Okay, so that's, you know, in other words, that the length of each of the individual sounds has to be the equivalent to the other, even though Shmorim is three, but naturally the three together make one, you know, as far as length is concerned, is equivalent to the tekiah. And the true, even though it's at least nine staccato sounds, right, has to be the equivalent of both the shvarim and also the tekiah. All right. So, okay. So shaolah shushin teder right shiur tekiah ketura right and shiur tekiah kishlosha shvarim. All right. So okay. So fine. So we have one opinion that has already been expressed. But you know, there are always different opinions. So now we're going to come to another opinion. Hai Tana Meikara, he says, the one who made this statement, originally, Maisel of Hakesha, he really wanted to make the point only on the basis of Hekesh. Hekesh means you make a comparison. Since you have, you know, the word Shvi and Shvi, but he did not have the idea that it's based upon a Gezeira Shavah. No, he didn't have the idea that it's based on a Gezeira Shavah. Because I have to explain, I've said many, many times, a Gezeira Shavah has to have a tradition behind it. There must be a tradition that the great authority said this Gezeira Shavah. You can't come, I mean, I can't come and make a Gezeira Shavah, you know, and say, look, I mean, it's written, let's say, S over here, it's written S over here, so that, therefore, this is a Gezeira Shavah. That's wrong. That doesn't work that way. I'm not that authority. The only authorities are those great Rebbeim, great Tanoim, and so on, who had this tradition, which they in turn had received from their teachers, who in turn had received it from their traditions. You understand? So that it's almost equivalent to, as we would say, almost like a halacha of Moshe Sinai. It's as though almost it went right back to Mount Sinai, that this Gezeirah Shavah. So he wanted simply to make originally just an ordinary comparison. But hashta, that's Gezeirah Shavah. But now that somebody comes along with a Gezeirah Shavah and proves it, so he says, then he doesn't need the Hekesh anymore, because of the two of them, which has greater authority? Simply comparison, or is it a Gezeira Shavah? Well, not sure. If you have Gezeira Shavah, it means that you have the weight of the tradition. behind you for this. Whereas Hekesh is based upon, you know, your own logical reason, you see. Okay? Not that we minimize it, but nevertheless, as far as authoritativeness is concerned, then there's no question that the Gezeirah Shavah is more authoritative. Okay? All right. The high Tana, but now we have another Tana who comes along, and he brings it with Gezeirah Shavah, but you know what? Not from Shvi'i. He brings it instead, Mimidbar. What does Mimidbar means? From where we have what took place while the people of Israel were in the wilderness. Okay? Irv, do me a favor. Get me a Chumash. Okay? Because to understand this, it's good to review what the Torah itself has to say. Thank you very much. Okay, we turn to Parsha Bahalosa. Okay. Okay, in chapter Yud, it's written over there by Davish Abushalimor, Kesef. If you remember that, you know that the Rabbeinu Shalim told Moshe Rabbeinu that he should make two silver trumpets, right? And of course they were mikshot hasoso, which means that they have to be beaten out of a solid piece of metal in order to do it. So it's a very difficult thing, not pieced together, in other words, right? And the Hoyula Cholamikroheido, and these chatzotzos are there for to call the congregation together, to call the people of Israel together, Ulamasa Esamachanos, and also to give the signal that the various camps are to move on in the next stage of their journey in the wilderness. Okay? And then the next pasuk says, Vesoku Ubahain, right? They will blow upon them. All right, notice what is the verb over here? Sure. Huh? V'taku. No, in other words, sound of tekiah, right?
Oh, I see what you're saying, right?
Yeah, okay. And if you blow upon them, then then the signal is that everybody should gather together before, you know, the tent of meeting. Now, then it says, in ba'achas yisko, and what happens if they blow only upon one trumpet, not with both trumpets together? So in other words, if you want to get everybody together, what do? You blow two trumpets, okay? But if you only blow one trumpet, then the nu'adu elecha nesiyim, and that's the signal, you know, for the leaders of the Jewish people to come and gather, okay? Moshe Rabbeinu's cabinet, so to speak. Okay, the board of directors, the cabinet, you name it, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, the executive board. God's fine. Okay. Then it says, Uskatem Teruah. And what if you blow a Teruah? Right? Then the Nosra Machdas Hachim Kedmon. Okay? Then in that particular case, the camps that are encamped in the east, remember, you know, that they had the east and the west, the north and the south,
yeah.
And of course in the middle was the Levium and the Aron, right? Okay. The Ahumawai, the Aron, okay. So, that being the case, then it says, you know, then in that case, if you blow a Teruah, then in that particular case, the camps that were encamped in the east, they moved. Then it says, it's Katim Teruah Shainis, and if you blow again another Teruah, right? V'nosra Machnos Hachonim Teimonet, then those that are on the south moved. Truah Yiskevunu Masehem, and you are to blow a Truah for them to move on their journey, right? Then it says, V'hakilas Hakohol. Now, if you want the assembly to come together, then Tiskeu, you will blow a Tekiah, right? V'lo Sariu, but you will not do what? You will not blow a Truah. Okay? Alright, so as we see over here, of course the rest of it deals with Yom Simchaschem, Muadechem, and all those festivals, and then we have to blow Bachatzotzros, all of a sudden. Of course, we had a whole discussion several months ago as to, you know, the difference between Yom Kippur as compared to a Tadis Tzibur, when they also would blow shofar. Okay, you know, they would. It said, you know, that you blow shofar with the chatzotzes, with the trumpets, you know, surrounding the person blowing the shofar, okay? Or in the fast day, it was the other way, okay? All right, so at any rate, what we learned over there is that, you know, this was true where? It was true, you know, while the people of Israel traveled, you know, they had no home away and so on, and even the Beis HaMikdosh, a lot of these things were carried on. But naturally, we do not blow what? Today, do we blow trumpets?
No.
Only in the Reform Temple.
No, we don't. I wouldn't know.
There were jokes about that. No, I mean, I used to hear jokes, you know, the Reform Temple. I'm afraid that probably the joke was true, you know, that they would put in a mouthpiece over there so they could blow the shofar, you know. Or they blew a trumpet, that's all. Very simple. Right. Okay, from these verses which we have, we see already that if this Taina, you know, this man who is a teacher of Mishnah, and he comes and or Baraisa, and he comes, he wants to show that he doesn't need Bachorish Hashvi'i in order to teach us what to do, but he can get it from here. How does he get it? So this is what we have. Okay. Says, Titania, we have learned, it's written over there, Uskatem Truo, right? First you blow a Tekio, and then what? A Truo, okay? Tekio b'fnei atzmo, therefore, from the fact that we have two different words, it shows that Tekio is separate, and Truo b'fnei atzmo, and Truo is separate too. Ato omer, maybe you'll argue as follows, Tekio b'fnei atzmo, Truo b'fnei atzmo, okay? You're saying, you know, that tekiya is separate from a true, the two different things. Oh, ainu ela tekiya true achasi. But maybe that's not so. Maybe the tekiya and true are exactly the same. So he says, no, all right, let's look at the text. Kishu omer, when the Torah says over there, uva hakilis hakohol, that when you gather the kohol together, right, then in that case, tisku uva lo tariyo. You are to blow a tekiya, but not a trua, right? So, heavy omer, so from this we can say, tekiya b'fnei atzmo, a trua b'fnei atzmo, right? That a tekiya is something which is separate, and it's not the same as a trua. Trua is, okay. So, menayin. Now, another thing he says, I can show to you also from the psukim over there, shepshuto lefoneho, that there is a simple blast, in other words, what we call the tekiya, before the trua, right? So Talmud Loma, I can prove it, because what is written over there, it says, uskatem trua, right? So that proves what? That first comes tekiya, and then comes trua. Menayin shep shuta lachareho, and how can I prove to you also that after, you know, tekiya and trua, the next thing that you have to have is again what? Tekiya. Pshuta, right. Pshuta means that it has to be one simple sound, okay? Following, you know, the trua. So Talmud Lomar, well, that's why the Torah then says, Trua yiske'u l'matzehem, right? So you see here, which comes first? Trua, and then comes again tekiya. And this, remember, is the last part of the pasuk, okay? All right. So it's a nice argument. It doesn't say who propounded this argument, but obviously we're going to have another authority come along who's going to dispute it. Rabbi Yishmael benosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broko, Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broko, Omer, he says, Einu tzorach, I don't need those proofs of yours. Why? Harei hu Omer, doesn't it say over there, Usikatem Truo Shenis, right? That you are to blow a Truo a second time. So that therefore, She'ein Talmud Loma Shenis. Why did the Torah have to use the word Shenis? Could it simply said again, Usikatem Truo, right? Why does it say Shenis a second time? Ma Talmud Loma Shenis, so this said, Bono Av. So this establishes a basic rule that She'kol Mokim Shenema Truo, that wherever the word Trua exists, then in that case, Tehei Tekiyosh Niolo, then in that case you have to have a tekiah following it, right? So in other words, we've already proved that you have to have a tekiah before the trua, right? And following the trua, we have to have a tekiah. So we've proved it also. So in that particular case, yeah, so now he says, Ein li ela b'midbar. Does this apply only to what we said about the blowing of the trumpets in the desert? No. Rosh Hashanah minayin, how do I know that this also applies to what? To Rosh Hashanah. So he says, Talmud Lomar, this is the reason why the Torah says, Trua, Trua, Gezeira Shova. In other words, I derive it from a Gezeira Shova, not from what we had before about Bachodesh Hashvi, Bachodesh Hashviyi, but I have it from the fact that it says Trua in the Midbar, and it also says Trua for Rosh Hashanah. Okay? And it's a Gezeira Shova. All right. And he says, furthermore, the Shalosh Truos Nimru by Rosh Hashanah, three Truos were said in connection with Rosh Hashanah, because take a look at the Psukim dealing with it. First of all, it says, Shabboson Zichron Trua, okay? Yeah, all right, so that already is in reference to Rosh Hashanah, mentioned in the Torah. Then, of course, it says Yom Trua. It also says that it is a day of blowing in the shofar. And then, Vavata Shofar Trua, this, of course, we learned from Yom Kippur, where it occurs, right? Okay, so we see then that the word Trua occurs three times in the Torah. Okay? And then it says, Ushtei Tekiyos Nechol Achas Ve'Achas, right? And inasmuch as we already shown that you have to have two Tekiyos, one before and one after, for every single one of the Trua, right? So Matzina the Maiden, for this we learn what? That Shalosh Truos V'Sheish Tekiyos Nemru B'Rosh Hashanah. That they mention three Truos, and since we have to have one tekiah before and one after for each of them, so we wind up with three truas and six tekiahs. Okay? Now he says, Shtayim Medivrei Torah, two are to be found in the words of the Torah itself. Of course, that means, you know, in reference to Rosh Hashanah. The Yachas Medivrei Sofrim, and the other one is how the rabbis interpreted in connection with what? In connection with Yom Kippur and Yovel. Okay? Shabboson Zichron Trua, right? Va'avata Shofar Trua. These, he says, these are found in the Divrei Torah. And Yom Trua Yeyalochem, he says that really there's the this is not, this is already the rabbis who said that. That's the Talmudo who bought, came in order to teach us something about the blowing of the shofar. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar, Rabbi Yonason, who said the name Rabbi Yonason, said, Achas B'divrei Torah. No, he says, in reality, for Rosh Hashanah, there's only one real reference to blowing the shofar. Ushtai B'divrei Sofer, and the rest we derive by the interpretations of our sages. Va'avata Shofar Teruah, he says, that's B'divrei Torah. That, he says, applies to the Torah, as the Torah is grounding for sounding a shofar, right? And Shabboson, Zichron, Trua, and Yom Trua, Yolechem, the Talmudohu Bo. They come in order to teach us something. All right. Mila Talmudohu Bo. So tell me, what do they come to teach us besides whatever else we've said? So he says, Mi boy, we needed to teach us something else also. That by Yom, the Lo Balayla. Okay? That the blowing of the shofar has to be when? During the day, but not at night. How do we know that? Because it says Yom Trua. Yom means literally day. So that therefore it means that it has to be by day, but not by night. The Idach and the other authority, by Yom Velo Balayla Menole, he's in agreement, but the how does he derive it? So he says, Nafkale, he gets it from what? Maybe Yom HaKippurim. Because it says B'yom HaKippurim, all right, and if we say that what happens on Yom Kippur also holds true for Rosh Hashanah, so if it has to be on the day of Yom Kippur, then it has to be also the day of Rosh Hashanah. So he says, Im B'yom HaKippurim Yaliv, if we're learning it, you know, from Yom Kippurim, then Nigmar Nami Mine Lifshuta Lifonim Shulachareha. Then in that particular case, I could also learn that what? That there has to be a simple sound before the Trua and a simple sound after. In other words, in Tekiah, Trua, and Tekiah. And he's not, he didn't derive his teaching from simply because it says in the connection with Yom Kippur, first Vahavata and then Ta'aviru. You know, everybody had a different tradition, so this is not his tradition. Elamai Doshu Boy Vahavata. So, in that case, so what, if he didn't agree with what we said before, but Vahavata means you blow a tekiah before, and Taviru means that you blow the kiya afterwards. So what does he do with Pavata? So he says, Kidarav Basta. This is in accordance with Rav Basta, the Imam Rav Basta, who said, Pavata derchava raso. That when you blow the shofar, it has to be the right way that you hold the shofar. Taviru, okay? You have to do it in the correct position. Dika Omar Rachmona na brei bayon. As the Torah said, you have to cause the sounds of the shofar to be carried in the hand. Now, we had this very previously, if you may remember, that it said there that several weeks ago we had that in connection, you know, with the Havata, Shofar, Trua, and so on, it says that it has to be Derech Havarasa. It has to go exactly the way it's meant to go, which means over there it says that you couldn't, the only way to blow a shofar properly was to hold it here and to have it facing up, if you remember. That's the right way to blow a shofar, because that's the way what? The animal grows it that way too, if you remember, right? Since the animal grows it that way, then this is the way you have to hold it. Okay. Of course, there are other reasons why we do that. I mean, if it's more directing towards the Rebbeinu Shalem, towards heaven, then it's going in the opposite direction, okay? So good. The Edok. And how about the other authority, the Rav Masna? You know, how does he interpret it? So he says, I mean, the Shani Bidibure. He says, because the language is a little bit unusual, it says Ta'aviru Bayad, right? So Taviru means that it has to be Bayad in your hand. Lo Motzis Amrit the Gomar Avora Avora Mimosha. And he cannot say that he learned that this business of how it is to make sounds and so on is Mimosha. Ksiv Hocho, because it's written here by Vato Shofar Truo. Ksiv Hosom. Okay. What he's saying is something a little bit different. What he's saying over here is, maybe I could learn this idea, you know, of how to make the sounds of the shofar, and using the word Havarta, from a different pasuk, which also uses the word, the same idea. He says, it's written, and this of course we find, you know, at the end of the the end of Parsha Pekudei, the end of Sefer Shmos, okay? Remember, they're gathering together, they're building the Mishkan, and Moshe Rabbeinu is getting to, you know, is getting ready to dedicate it. But first they ordered the people, if you remember, that they should contribute, right? And everybody who was a Nadiv Lev, right, was a good-hearted person, they contributed Zohar, Kesef, etc., etc., etc. And then we find all of a sudden that, and this is the pasuk over here, right? The Moshe Kesiv Hocha, it's written Havata Shofar Trua, right? So we see that word. And Moshe Kesiv Hosam, but in the case of in Shemos, it's written Vayetzav Moshe. Moshe commanded the people of Israel Vayaviru Kol Machaneh, and they caused a voice, literally, in other words, a proclamation to be made in the camp. And of course, what was the proclamation? Remember, stop bringing. We have too much already. Daiva Hosea. Okay, we have too much.
Too much money.
Right, too much. No, I tell you, we have to apply it now to Bush and the income tax. Shane Diver, who said that we've been paying to the Federal Treasury, it's time that we get back a little bit, right?
That's all you're going to get back a little bit.
Yeah,
whatever,
my
whatever.
Payment.
Yeah, okay. So, but anyway, the point about the Havdiru, and so on, he says, it's Mala Halam Bekol, just as you have to make a sound with it, so Afkan Bekol. So, likewise, over here, then it has to be by a sound. Okay? Ulahai Tana, and as far as the other Tana, the Maiselam in Midbar, the one who used it, you know, blowing the Chatzotzros in the desert. Yeah? Imala Halam Chatzotzros, Afkan Chatzotzros. Hey, are we to say that on Rosh Hashanah we blow not a shofar, but chatzotzot, since you say that's a gezeirah shofar? So he says, no, Talmud Loma, this is the reason why we have another pasuk, and it's a very well-known pasuk, of course, in the book of Tehillim, right? It says, tikkun, you know, we say it every Thursday morning, right? Tikkun b'chodesh shofar, right? Blow on the new moon the shofar, on the Kesah, which is usually translated on the festival, the day of our rejoicing or something like that. But the word Kesah, of course, is related to the word the chasot, the cover. Kisa, well, kisa means he covered, right? So therefore they say, Ezehu Chag, which is the festival, Shahachodesh Miskasabo, where the new moon literally is covered. There's only one such festival, Heve Yomer. So we have to say Ze Rosh Hashanah, the Ka'omer Achmono Shofar, and therefore the Torah uses what word? Shofar. Okay, so we'll stop at this particular point tonight. We'll continue next week. I would say that we have maybe about approximately another 2 weeks, three at the most, I mean, before we've completed. Okay? Okay, tonight is the 14th of February, the year 2001, and we are continuing from where we left off last week, on Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Dalet, Lamed Aleph. Okay? I want to remind you that what we were talking about last week, and this, of course, is going to be followed up now tonight, is the problem of what kind of sounds do we make with the shofar? We are familiar, I mean, we learned last week, you know, that, for example, the Torah speaks about Rosh Hashanah as being Yom Truah, right? That's what we learned. So, okay, so we see that there is such a thing called Truah, okay? We also learned from making comparisons to other situations that we find in the Torah, whether it is, for example, in reference to Yom Kippur, in which case we apply the Gezeirah Shavuot B'Chodesh Hashvi, you know, the seventh month, and since over there it's written that you have to blow shofar, you know, so Havatem Shofar Truah B'Chodesh, it says over there specifically Shofar Truah, okay? So we see already that two sounds are mentioned. By shofar they take what? They take it to mean the sense of tekiah, right? And then Truah. So we see that you have to have a tekiah before Truah, and then it says Taviru Shofar Bechol Arzachem. So from this we learn what? That you also have to follow up the set with what? With another tekiah. Alright, so by now we have established then that tekiah, Truah, tekiah. Okay?
That comes from the which yeah. The marching order was.
Alright, that's another idea.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, that was another idea, that instead we can learn it right, instead from the use of the trumpets and so on in the, you know, in the midbar, you know, when the people of Israel had to go, because over there it's written, Uskatem Truah, right? And then it says, Katem Truah Shenis, okay? So in that particular case, or it says, Tisku Velo Soriyu, right? So we see from this that there is a tekiah. There is a Truah. Alright. So far so good. But the problem is, we didn't know what exactly is Truah. Now, what is Truah? Tekiah we know. Tekiah we know is a simple blast of the shofar. Okay? A simple tone that you get from the shofar. This is the Tekiah. Okay? But
what is truer? This is what we were struggling with for the past couple of weeks. So we said, what is truer? So there are two different opinions. One of them says it is, well, first of all, right, then we learned, you know, that in Targum Onkelos, how did they translate the word Yom Truah? They said, it is Yom Nevava, right? So Yevava, you know, so the question is, and what is that related? So we brought the story about the mother of Sisera, where it's written concerning her, you know, Vatiyabev Eim Sisera Biyad HaChalom. So we know that she was there, she was waiting for her sonny boy to come back from the war, and at the same time, she was, you know, she was worried, you know, why isn't he coming? So she obviously said something to her handmaidens to indicate that, you know, she was feeling bad.
So the, bring home a girl.
Right. So the question is, all right, it wasn't for marital purposes, I assure you. All right. All right. So then, as we saw, there were two basic ideas as to what the word trua means. Is it the sound that we call genucha, right? Which means like a sighing sound, or is it a weeping sound, yalala, okay? This is the question. So how do we define one? So we said, if we say that it is a sobbing sound, then in that particular case, then that would correspond to what we call a shvarim. Right? Whereas if we say it is a yalala, then in that particular case, it means that it is, okay? So that's what we call trua. So this is where we start tonight, okay? As we saw, you know, there was a difference of opinion concerning it. Yes, you want to pass the... Okay, we're on Lamed Dalet, on the Aleph, and we're down right near the, roughly, you see over there, Nabre Biyad on the side over there, the Tosfos over there. Yeah, okay. So, if you go over there, okay, roughly, you'll see a little base over there in the text itself that says Iskin Rabbi Abu. This is where we start, okay? All right. Iskin Rabbi